Okay, today's daf is Me'ila daf Yutes. We are on Yudches Amid Beis. We are in the second to last daf of the fifth parak in Me'ila. And then we have a couple of lot of the last parak, two to be exact, two and a little. And then next week, Be'ez Hashem, we get into Kinim and then Tamid as we zero in towards the end of Seder, Kadshim, and Midos. Okay, says the Braisa. We're in the middle of a long Braisa on Yudches Amid Beis, which discusses the connection between Truma and Me'ila. And this is the source. A lot of the basic dinim of Me'ila are learned out from this Braisa in this parak relating Truma and Me'ila. How did we get into this Brahol Braisa? Because we just started off by talking about what is the Lashon of Me'ila? Where does it come from? What is Ma'al? So the Gemara has three models, and we're in the third one now. The first model was in Isha Sota. That's the first pasuk that was quoted. Kisimo mal, and ish kisista ishto umalam bo mal. And we just quoted the Maharik yesterday that speaks about ma'al between a husband and a wife also. Number two was ma'al by Avodah Zarah, where by Klal Yisrael, it's described by Yimalu Belukei Avosehem. That is number two. And number three is this long braisa, and that is the connection, ma'al, not found by Truma, but we have a chet xerishava by Truma, meaning a czar eating Truma or a kohen tame eating Truma. So connected to that, we also have xerishava to Me'ila. So those are the three models that we learn halachos from. The third one is really the one that we learn many halachas from. And the Gemara had these comparisons between just like Truma, so too Me'ila. One of them, which Bezeshem will get back to in the next parak, which we didn't get to talk about enough, is the issue of shlichus when it comes to Me'ila. As we mentioned, Ein shliach l'dvar aveira does not apply to Me'ila. Yei shliach l'dvar aveira by Me'ila, the Rambam says, it is the only exception to the rule. In Hilchos Me'ila, Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, why does he say it's the only exception? There are other exceptions that we mentioned was the question of the Maharit and the Ksos in Siman Reish Tzadik Beis. Be'ez Hashem, we will be able to get back to that. Okay, but now we're still in the middle of the Braisa. How do I know that many of these halachas apply to Truma and to Me'ila, or what? How do I know that there are differences also between Truma and Me'ila? The last few differences have been relating to, how do I know that by Truma, it's all one action that is required? You don't have tziruf of many different distant actions from each other. And by Me'ila, we know that you do have distant actions from each other. So that was the last couple of imaz that we had on Yud Ches Amid Beis. So now we're up to the last line. We're still in the middle of this braisa. So ima cheta amur by truma. If I say the chet that it says by truma, ad she yatsa min hakodesh lachol, I might think that just like by truma, the only iser is when it is yotze from kodesh tachol. Just like truma is yotze from kodesh tachol when you violate, so too I would have thought that there is only me'ila when it's yotze min hakodesh lachol, which we'll get to in a second. But even before we get to the second half, what does that mean? Truma is only when you're yotze min hakodesh lachol. If I eat truma, if I'm a kohen tame and I eat truma, it's leaving, it's going from kodesh to chol. How does that work? So says Rav Yashiv, it must be that the second that I start chewing it and it loses its status as truma, it becomes chulin. Says Rav Yashiv, Yesh Lomar, de etzem mashaba abdol gamrei min haolam lo nisha bikdushaso. Number one, it must mean, it's yotze min existing to not existing. That's really what's happening when I eat truma. But it must be first day that when I chew it, that it's destroyed. So it is also nechshav, nothing is like chol as compared to kodesh. Number one, which is a little more difficult because kodesh to chol means it's here, it just changed its status. So what happens when you eat truma? So he says va'od yesh lomar, or maybe it's based on what Tosfos Yeshanim says in Yuma. Debala truma vihikia nas es chulin. Somebody eats truma and regurgitates it, and it comes back out, then it's chulin, loses its status of truma. So there, you see, it could still be in existence and be called chulin. Dani ade bli aso nas es chulin, v'lachein chashiv dekal achila motzis es truma yikodesh lechol. Okay, you gotta work that out, either because it doesn't exist anymore, or because if I would chew it and then spit it back out, not just chew it, if it would go down and then I would regurgitate it, so then it would be called chulin as well. Either way, that's the first half of the line that we are discussing here. So, just like by truma, it is I violate only when it is Yotze min HaKodesh L'chol. So, how do I know by Mi'ila? Min HaKodesh L'Kodesh. What if by Mi'ila I have an example of Kodesh to Kodesh? What does that mean? Kigon, lakach kine zavim v'kine zavos. V'kine yodos. What happens if I take Kodesh money, which I think is chulin money, but by mistake I use it for, I take Kodesh money and I buy my karbanos with it? It's bedek abayis, so it's not supposed to be used for karbanos, but I take that money and I buy kinim with it. I buy sets of birds that I need. Or the shakal shiklo, the hevi chataso vashamo. Mina hektish, the Shiduk Betzis takes out those two words. But either way, what did I do here? I used an item that already belongs to hektish for something else that I want for hektish. How do I know there's me'ila there too? Maybe I should compare it to Truma, where it's only Yotze, Mina Kodesh Lachol, Kivan Shehotzi Ma'al, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Says Rabbi Shimon that this is not like Truma, because the second that I amotzi it, that I use it, then Ma'al, I violate. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achi Yisro Kadam. Not only after you're Yotzi it, which we'll talk more about what exactly that means, but let's just say it means you used it when you bought it, maybe. The second that moment, or Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not good enough. You didn't accomplish anything yet. You only violate Mi'ila after you benefit from it, and that is Zrikas Adam. So then, how do I know Minayin? How do I know in all these cases that it's not like Truma, and the Gzeira Shava doesn't go across the board? You learn certain halachas from Truma to Mi'ila, but not all. How do I know? Tamalomar, Timol Ma'al, Mikol Makom. Right, that's the lashon that we've had four times already. Timol Ma'al is a double lashon, and that teaches me all the cases to include that don't have a parallel by Truma, but we do say that they are included in Mi'ila. Okay, a couple of points to focus on. First of all, there's a challenging Rashi. Rashi says to explain the Shita of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said, Kivan Shehotzi Ma'al. The second one that you emotzi. So what does Hotzi mean? So Rashi says, or what we call Rashi. Rashi on the fourth line in Rashi. V'kivan Shehevi La'azara Ma'al. Divrei Reb Shimon. Right when I bring it to the Azara, I take this money, this Kodesh money, I buy a set of karbanas, birds, animals with it, and I bring it to the Azara. The second that I bring it to the Azara, boom, I violate. Why? What's magical about bringing it to the Azara? De kasavar, de man, de mechayev, chata, so asham, lo olam uchayev bachriyuso, asha yivienu l'Azara. If I'm chayev achatas, I'm responsible for it until I bring it to the Azara. V'kivan shehevio niftar me'achrayuso. And right when I bring it to the Azara, I'm finished. I'm niftar from my achrayus, from my responsibility of this carbon. That is what Rashi says. And we look in the Goyin Lashas here, right? He quotes, he says, look in Rashi in Chul and Kuflamites, where Rashi there seems to say the same thing. Rashi there says on the bottom of Amud Aleph, he says, Dechi Amar Alai, when somebody says Alai to bring a carbon, Haki Kamar Alai, Lahavio La Azara, to bring it to the Azara. So you might say this proves Rashi Lishitaso, it is Rashi, but the Godash has there, cause our Rashi. Aval, Betek Abayis, Gamru, Bahafrashaso, that's by Bizbeach. Betek Abayis is right when your Mafresh is finished. But Bizbeach, it is when you bring it to the Azara. So that is what Rashi says here, and that's what Rashi says there. And the Rishash right here quotes the Turei Evan, quotes the Shakas Arya in Mesechas Megillah, who says, how is that possible? What do you mean? If I have to bring a carbon chatas, and then I bring my carbon chatas to the Beis HaMikdash, and I bring it to the Azara, and it never gets sacrificed, I'm off the hook. I'm not chayav b'achrayus anymore. I don't get kapara until after Zrikas Adam, like Rabbi Yehuda says. That's what Rabbi Shimon talking about. If I buy a carbon chatas, right when I bring it into the Azara, I'm niftar, I'm finished, I'm home free. What does that mean? And therefore, because of that, that's when I got something out of it. And therefore, now I violate Mi'ila. So what does it mean, Kivishi V'Elazar? What happens at that point? So, a number of the Achronim discuss that it can't be what you think it means. It can't be what you think it means. A number of Achronim suggest that the Taras HaKodesh, in the beginning of Maseches Vachim, suggests that when one has to bring a carbon chatas, there's really a twofold chiv when one has to bring a chatas. There's one, I have to bring a chatas because I need a kapara. I have to wipe out my chait. Number two, there's a chiyuv Even if I don't care about wiping out my chait, but there's a chiyuv that the Torah says, when you do this aveira, you are obligated to God achatas. It's two elements of the chait, separate from the kapara element, right? I have a chiyuv. I have a chiyuv, and then, you know, how do I fulfill that chiyuv? It's more of a chiyuv dini mamani legabei hektish. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you do this, you owe this. Part two, you need to wipe away your sin and get a kapara. Says the Taras HaKodesh, Zvachim Da Beis, so maybe that's what's happening here. When Rashi says that, you're nifta b'achriyuso, that, of course you don't get a kapara until the Zrigas Hadam. But maybe there's an element of chatas that can be taken care of. There's a Torah's chiyuv mamon within chatas that's niftar right when you begin to the azara. If the kohen messes up afterwards, so you didn't get a kapara, but maybe it will be the kohen's responsibility to then get a carbon and designate it for you and then bring it on your behalf. But maybe that's the secret here, that there are two elements in every carbon: chatas, a chiyuv legabe. I did an act. It's just like I borrowed money or I did anything. So I owe. So here I owe. The second element is the wiping out element of my aveira. So that, of course, does not happen just by bringing it into the azaras. That's one version. If you look also that second same piece in Rav Yashiv, in the continuation, he quotes. He quotes Achronim. What does that mean? A different answer. He says, that just means that if it's followed through and it still exists in the world, so then you have done everything that you have to do. But obviously, if it gets destroyed or lost, then lamafreya, retroactively, you no longer have that. You cannot rely on the fact that you're not chayav achrayus. Deheicha dashara dayin ba'olam v'rak nevad v'lo yadinan heichan hu. If it's in the world, you just don't know where it is, so then you can say it's not your responsibility anymore. You did what you need to do. Oza did deino chayav achrayuso. Vein memashkin oso vein gamino over abal ta'acher. That's a nafkamina. You don't violate the isser of delaying your carbon abal ta'acher. The chashiv de osa hamutal alav mashevi olazara. I don't know, maybe it's based on English is a big place. Maybe your animal, which, you know, what they probably labeled the animals. Everybody's animals are all, bring hundreds and hundreds of animals in that area at one time. Probably labeled, like, you put a collar around the animals until they, so what happens if yours got lost? It's in one of these lishkas, but they, so that's not your responsibility. You did what you had to do. Once you bring it to the Azara, now it's in the Kohen's domain, so you don't have to do anything. But obviously it's only, until we know otherwise, we think it's still around, we just haven't found it. And let's say a yontif passes. So you don't violate the Isra of Baal Ta'acher, because you did everything you had to do. Volonis batlav also, to call Hecha de Isa, because of the Isa. Wherever it is, it is. Rashi never said that you were Yotze and you get Kapara. Another example, if you're mechusar kapara, you're a zav zavi oledes mitzora, you can't eat kachim yet. It's not like your kavan was brought, it's just that you're not chayav achrayus, it's not your responsibility, as long as we think that it might still be in the existence. But in a chinami, aval kodem shevi ol azara, ikale gamas chiyav nidro. Before you bring it to the azara, so then you didn't even fulfill your chiyav yet. But once we know, let's say we know the animal died, so then you didn't do anything. You have to bring another one. Right? That's it's not that you have fulfilled anything. Two pshatim, exactly, what does Rashi mean? Havasa lazara, either there's two elements of every karman chatos, that's the Taras HaKodesh, or Abel Yashiv says, no, there's one element of a chatos, but you don't, once you did what you need to do in the azara, now it's off your hands, as long as it continues being in existence, so then there's no violation, and we can foresee that it's going to happen. But the second that it dies, the second that it's totally lost, that they searched every nook and cranny in the base of Mikdash, and it's not there, so you can really declare it as avud, so then you have to bring another carbon. That is all about Rashi on Kivan Shehotzi Ma'al. The Hana is that you have fulfilled your obligation, everything that you have to do.
That's
or at least that's considered enough Hana for the Isra Me'ila. In other words, me'ila means you have to benefit from something. So it's at least a davar hagorim lamamon, we would call it. Right? Something that if it's not there, you have to pay for it. So that's in various halachas, kamamon dami. Right? So that's what, I guess the closest model that we could call it, like a davar hagorim lamamon. Just one other, that's within Shitas Reb Shimon. Shitas Reb Yehuda is, Reb Yehuda says, until you do Zrikas Adam, it is not going. You know what? We'll wait with this dinner of Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe we'll come back. Okay, so this is all the end of the Braisa. So now we continue with the next point in the Braisa. Now we have we're going to talk about each stage of the Braisa. Amar Mar. Nefesh. The first part of the Braisa. Remember we said Nefesh. That's how the Parsha Me'ilo starts off. In the end of Vayikra. Nefesh. Echad ha-yachid ve-echad ha-nasi ve-echad ha-mashuach ve-mashma. Doesn't matter who violates Me'ila. You could have a private individual. You could have the Nasi, meaning the Melech. You could have the Mashuach, the Kohen Gadol. Right? So you could have all different types of people that violate Me'ila. Everybody's subject to Me'ila as long as they weren't allowed. Obviously, the Kohen Gadol, when he's doing his Avoda, right? If the Tzar would do the Kohen Gadol's Avoda, he would violate Me'ila. If you benefit from something, so the Kohen Gadol does what he's supposed to do, he's not violating. But in a case where he is violating, we mentioned in the past the Machlokas Rambam Ravid, if a Kohen wears his Begadim Shalo B'Shas Avoda, is that an Avera? Is that an Avera of Shatnez? Because some of the Begadim have Shatnez in them. So do we say only Asi Dochalosa say B'Shas Avoda or even Shalo B'Shas Avoda? That's the last Rambam Ravid in Hilchas Kelayim. Last one. So it might have to do with Hutra Techuya in terms of Asidu Chalos Asay. But again, Me'ila might also be involved there. Says the Brisa, so everybody could violate. Sheyachol Mai. What would have been my Havamina? Pshita. Nefesh Ksiv. It says Nefesh. So why would I have thought that somebody's not subject to Me'ila? Why would I have thought everybody's subject to Me'ila? No. Says the Gemara Ma'od Tema, I might have said, Amar Rachmana Va'asher Yitein Mimenu Alzar. Pasuk says by the Shemen HaMishcha, that the Yisr of the being Sach B'Shemen HaMishcha is only putting it onto a Zor. V'hai lav Zoru toha imshach begaveh. And these people like a Kohen Gadol, or Kohen maybe even, and a Melech, they've already been anointed. So maybe they're not included in this Avera because they're not a Zor. They've been anointed. And just like they're not included in this Parsha of using something for the Beis HaMikdash, maybe they wouldn't be included in any Parsha of using something for the Beis HaMikdash. They would have thought that they're Mufka from Me'ila. Kamash Malan what? Kamash Malan, for sure, that they're included in Me'ila. What about the Yisr of Shemen HaMishcha? Are they included in that? Is the Gemara saying, you would have thought that just like they're not included in the Isser of Shemen HaMishcha, so they're not included in anything regarding to Me'ila. Kamash Malan, no, you don't extend it. Are we saying they're even included in the Isser of Shemen HaMishcha? Not 100% clear. This is a discussion on Machlokas Achronim. Machlokas Achronim, whether a Melech or a Kohen Gadol is subject to the Isser Da'oraisa of Asher Yitin Mimenu Alzar when you're not supposed to be using it. When you're not supposed to be using it. Can we call this person a czar if they've already been nimshach once in their life? Right, so that is, but either way, that was the Havamina in the Maskana Kamash Molan. The answer of using the Shemen HaMishcha is quoted in the end of Sefer Shmos in Parshas Kisisa, where the Torah tells us, right, the Sefer Chinuch says in Mitzvah Kufches, Mitzvah 108, Shelo Lim Shalach B'Shemen HaMishcha Sha'asa Moshe El HaKohanim Levad. And there are two mitzvahs related to Shemen HaMishcha. One, to do the Meshicha. Meshicha's Kohanim Umalachim B'Shemen HaMishcha. Number one. And number two is the Isser of smearing the Shemen HaMishcha. There is no separate Isser of creating the Shemen HaMishcha like there is by Ketores. Right? I'm sorry, there is. There's both. I forgot. Shlo Lasos, the next one. And then turn the page. Kuftesh. Shlo Lasos B'Maskuta Shemen HaMishcha. And that's what we've quoted 100 times. Right? About the, about Ief Shalatzam saying. How can you be so exact in the ingredients? Lo Ninatar Lamalachay Asharis. That's Kuftesh. And then the Isser is also making the Ketores. The Isser making the Shemen HaMishcha and the Ketores. But the Isser that we're talking about in our Gemara. Shlo Lim Shalach B'Shemen HaMishcha Sha'asa Moshe Elakonim Levad. Shinemar Al Basar Adam Lo Yisach. V'Nizbar Bakasuv Shemisha Mashach Bo B'Mezid. Chayev Karis. Isser Kares, if somebody uses Moshe Rabbeinu, Shemen HaMishcha, Shemar Vasher Yitein Mimenu Alzar, V'Nichras. That's our case. V'im Nimshach Bo B'Shogeg, Chayef Chadash Kavua. And if somebody is Nimshach B'Shogeg, then he is Chayef Chadash. Huge discussion in the Rishonim. What was the anointing of Shaul HaMelech? Did he have the real status of a king? Was that real Shemen HaMishcha? Did they use the did they use the real, which we'll talk about right now. The Rambam. The Rambam talks about Shal HaMelech. The Rambam is clear against certain Rishonim. The Meiri and Maseches Hario seems to say it wasn't real anointing by Shal. Because, this is a big discussion, he wasn't really a Melech, he wasn't supposed to be the Melech, he was only a Melech, but Israel, Kaviyachol, forced the Kaddish Baruch Hu's hands. But either way, that's a big discussion. But the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim says, Kishamamidin HaMelech, Moshkin Oso B'Shem HaMishcha, when we are Mamid HaMelech, B'ez Hashem Meheri Yibana, Mehira will be Mamlechim soon. We anointed with Shemen HaMishcha. Shenemar v'yikach Shmuel as Pach HaShemen, v'yitzak al Rosho, v'yashkeyu. Me'achar Shemoshchen HaMelech, hari uzoch elo l'banav l'olam. Shemalchus Yerushalayim. Shenemar, this says in Shoftim, l'man yarech yemem ha'malachto, hu banav bekerav Yisrael. And if he has a son, Mishamim lo amlucha sheyagdil, kamosha asa, Yehoyada liyawash. Kodem menachla, kodem Yerushas amalucha. The older son gets it. V'lo amalchus bilvad, and it's not only a melech, Ella, kol hasraros, v'chol haminuyin shebi Yisrael, Yerusha lebeno, it goes from father to son. And then he says, skipping two lines, kimet shenimshach David, zacha bekeser malchus. Once David was anointed with this shemen, he was zocha, v'hari amalchus lo ulvanav azacharim aksherim ad olam. And it's for him and his kosher descendants forever. Shenemar kisacha yen nachon ad olam. V'lo zacha elo l'ksherim. Avo bish lo zacha elo l'ksherim. Lo tikareis amalchus mizera David lo olam. Hivticha HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kach. Hashem promised that even if there's psulim in David HaMelech's family, he's going to stay in his family. And then he says, Navi Shehemin Melech Mishar Shevtei Yisrael, V'haya Oso HaMelech Holech B'darchei HaTorah, V'haMitzvah V'nilcham B'lmachamos Hashem. What if a Navi is Mavid HaMelech from other Shvatim? Now we're getting to Shaul. And that Melech follows the Torah and fights Milchamos Hashem. Harezeh Melech V'chol Mitzvos HaMalchus Noah goes Bo. Right? He has the status of a Melech. Afal Pi She'ikar HaMalchus L'David V'yiyah Mibonav Melech. Shahari Achia Shiloni, Hem in Yeravam, Va'amarlo, Va'ayem Shemot Ishmas, Kol Asher Anasher Tzaveka, if Yeravam would have listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and followed what he was supposed to do, Ubanisi Lecha Bayis Neman, Kasher Banisi LeDavid Avdi, it would have worked, but didn't work out. But it's possible, says the Rambam, to have the status of a Melech even outside Malchus Beis David. It's not going to be the same. It's not, he has the status of a Din Melech, but it won't be obviously the line that David has automatic, no matter who David the Melech's descendants is. So it could be that Shaul HaMelech had real Mashiach according to the Rambam. Again, this is the Isser of anointing with Shemana Mishcha. So the Minchas Chinuch talks about Me'ila there. If somebody violates, smears himself with Shemana Mishcha, he violates this Isser of Kisisa. But says the Minchas Chinuch, and this is a Machlokas. It's a Machlokas. V'da, d'chutz me'alav azeh. Yesh gam kain lav de meila. Kama bachala kachim. Rak de meila yesh bo dinim acherim. Look in meila. Shosh yesh avapruta vishar dinim. Hachanami and maa kaderach shachayeva be meila. Vadechayev kan misha meila gam kain. The pashas of our Gemara. It's quoting this to, and linking it to the meila and the isser of anointing with Shavana Mishcha. Okay, and the achronim, as I said, discuss what about the melech and what about the Kohen Gadol being subject. Just while we have it open, I just got to make the ha'ara that I made a mitzvah shiur a year ago or so, whenever we did this mitzvah. That is a fascinating ha'ara that Minchas Chinuch says. He doesn't really make a fuss about it. But in the previous mitzvah, the mitzvah of anointing, in mitzvah Kuv Zayin, says the Minchas Chinuch, it's clear that the Ulechore Nira, the Melech, or even before that, where's the halacha that I wanted to mention? The halacha is that me'ikar hadin, a melech ben melech does not need anointing if there's no argument about it. Right? It's only if there's an argument about it, then we'll anoint. But really, me'ikar hadin, he does not need a melech ben melech. Every kohen gadol needs, because that's not automatically passed on. But says the halacha is that the son would not need shemana mishcha. Says the minchas chinuch ulach ora nira. The Melech HaMashiach, Shemekavim Anu, Sheyizgala B'mehera V'yameinu. Melech HaMashiach, who we daven for every day. Kivan De'yiyam Yizera Shlomo, Dor Achar Dor. Since he's going to be a direct descendant, Imkein, HaMalchus Yerushalo, Me'esha Paska Malchus, V'yein Sarech Mashiacha. Maybe it won't be Mashiacha, because it's Dor Achar, there's been a big break. but it's from David HaMelech's family. Alpha Pisha Poska Malchus Babonasenu Harabim Kamadoros Mikomakom Aimzim Mafsik Hayerusha. Right, he's a mafshik. Achim no mar da ba mikoch mishet zorach mishicha. Who gam kein zorach mishicha? Unless you say that if a previous person in his family there was a fight about it, so they required mishicha, so you also need mishicha. Im kein tekev shemardu Yisrael berachavam v'lo kiblo le'ma malchus. The second that Bnei Yisrael rebelled with Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, im kein afilu hayu Rechavam v'zara malachim hayu tzricha mishicha l'malucha al kol Yisrael. Kamo shebi'arnu l'mar ala. Im kein gam melech hamashiach. Mizaro yitzorach mashicha. Av sheshalom ve'emes yebi yamav l'chol Yisrael ubikshu es daven alokem es daven malkam. Kasher muftachem anach v'dei anevim b'mer v'yemenu amen yavo v'yore lanu. So he says, you know, we have a promise. There's not going to be a fight when Mashiach comes. That's what's Hashem. But so he has a suffix whether Melech HaMashiach is going to need Mashiach. Isn't that pretty fascinating? We call him Mashiach, but he might not need Mashiach. We call him something else. So he doesn't make that hara, but it's amazing. Amazing that he might not need... What?
Mashiach.
He comes from Mashiach. We call him Mashiach because he comes from Mashiach. Okay. But so this Mashiach might not need Mashiach. Okay. Let him come and whatever he needs, doesn't need, he'll let us know. Okay. Says the Gemara now. So as we said, we have three models in the... Oh, there's more. Okay. Emek Bracha discusses about the Mashiach, but we'll continue. Says the Gemara, where are we? The Aksha Rachmana Lesota, Ula Vodas Gachavim Ula Truma. As we said, the Torah compares Me'ila to three other contexts. Sota, Avodah Zarah, and Truma. Why all three? What does each model teach us? So, Lesota compares it to Sota, the Af Agav Delo Pagam, even though Pigima does not take place. Why? What do you mean? Because there's only the halacha. I mean, there could be me'ila even without a depreciation. That's what we learn. Why? Because the halacha of sota, Rashi quotes here, remember back in sota, only applies by a be'ula. Does not apply to a besula. Only applies by a be'ula, where halachically, she's already nifgam, so to speak. Right? And Rashi says here, the sota be'guma va'omedes, he. They know heges, ela be'ula. This says, mi'bala dei isheich. So just like sota, there's a problem even though there's no depreciation. So too, mi'ila, there could be an issa problem even without depreciation, as we said in the first Mishnah yesterday, that if there's something that's not subject to depreciation, it go by hana, and it's still usser. So gabi hektish nami, so too hektish, nasna tabas biyada ma'ala. Right, when you put the ring on the finger, there's mi'ila, you get benefit even though there's no depreciation. Number one, ki akshar rachman al avodes kochavim, why do you compare it to avodes zara? What's the connection? Ad izba shinui. Until there is a shinui. What does that mean? Until there's a certain type of change. What does change mean? What kind of change is there by Avodah Zarah? So Rashi says here, second white line, Shemeshana atzmo mishchina la'avodas kochavim. I changed what team I'm on. Am I on the Shechina team? And I go to the Avodah Zarah team. That's ma'al. So just like that applies, shinui is something that is required by Avodah Zarah, or something that's definitional to Avodah Zarah. I have left. So too, me'ila, gabe hektish nami adibika bakartom. There are certain cases by me'ila, not all, as we'll see on Amud Beis, most of the time, by me'ila, the item leaves its kedusha. It becomes chulin. Not all. But that is a general rule, with exceptions by me'ila. It needs to be go out of hektish. And what example does the Torah give? Does the Gemara give? Adibika bakardom. What does Bika Bakardo mean? So that is a discussion in Meseches Kiddushin. Meseches Kiddushin. The Gemara says in Meseches Kiddushin on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara says, talking about borrowing something. Amar Rav Huna. And the Tosfos here, the Rishonim here, link this to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Hashoel Kardo Mechavero. If I borrow a kardom from my friend, Bikabo kinao, lo bikabo, lo kinao. If I use it, then I'm kona it, and if I don't use it, a kardom is an axe, lo bikabo, lo kinao. So what are we talking about here? If I borrow something from my friend, only if I use it? If I buy something, then that's kinyan, that's a mashicha, right? When I pull it, it's mine. But the Gemara here, Afuna says, sometimes you need to use it to make a kinyan. So too, in this case, the Gemara is talking about only after you use it. Let's say I have something, an axe, that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Right when I pick it up, so I didn't violate Me'ila yet. Why not? I didn't violate Me'ila yet. If I took it and I sold it to somebody, I gave it to somebody, maybe I do violate Me'ila. But if I picked it up myself, I didn't do anything yet. I didn't benefit from it yet. I didn't depreciate it yet. So what do you have to do? So once you use it, so what is using it have to do with it? What significance is using it? So there's a fascinating and beautiful ritva there in Kiddushin.mem Zion. And that is the ritva answers this question. What kind of kinyan is this? You borrow an axe and you're only kona it after you use it? Says the ritva. Tamiya milsa, taha she'ela. This is an important ritva for Me'ila and for She'ela and for Kinyanim. Tamiya milsa, taha she'ela matana liyomehu amanas lahachzir. She'ela is a matana amanas lahachzir for the yom. Va'amailo kanya shoel b'mashicha. Why didn't the Shoel cone it automatically by pulling it? Shalom atzinu kinyan zeh b'shum makom. She'yehe kli nikne b'haschalas hamalacha. You never find such a phenomenon. V'tiritzli rabbeinu nero. My Rebbe, God should watch over him. Natri rachmana. Natiritzli, rabbeinu nero. T'lahachilu mikli kli b'she'ela b'mashicha. Says the Ritva, you know why? Mishum te b'she'ela lo mikni leguf hakli klal. Elatash mishibo. What are you being kona when you borrow something? Say I borrow a shovel from somebody. Am I being kona the item? No. I'm not being kona the item. I'm being kona the usage of the item. The item belongs, if somebody asked me, oh, you got a new shovel? What would my answer be automatically? No, it's my neighbor's shovel. It's not mine. I would admit right away, I'm not being kona the shovel. I'm being kona hishtamshus in the shovel. If you're kona the shovel, then mishicha works. If you're kona hishtamshus, how are you kona hishtamshus? By hishtamshus. That's how you're kona it. Ve'ina tashmishahu roi liklos b'mashicha. Kishem shein osios liklos b'mesiru l'chudeh l'in yeshibet shabahem. Just like osios, right? That's the sugya of, if I have a shard that says, Reuven owes me $100, and I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you, so that Reuven can pay you. So is it good enough for me to give you the shtar? That's the machlokas, Rabbi and the Chachamim, whether osios niknos b'mesira. So maybe it's not, because you're not giving the item, you're giving the rights. Similarly, he gives that parallel. She'in Mashicha kone ela b'moshech guf hadavar hanikne. Mashicha, pulling it, that kinyan only works by if you pull the item that you want to be kone. But here, you're not. And he gives another example, but he says that's why here is working through the hishtamshus. The hishtamshus is what is kone here. And he continues with it. But that could be what's going on here as well. You have to have, if you just picked up an axe, and if you want to steal it, you know it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're coming to steal it. I'm talking about mazen. Most cases of Me'ila are shogeg. So let's say you picked it up and you think it's yours. So far, what'd you do? You didn't depreciate it. You didn't benefit from it. So, if you use it, the second that you use it, now it's in your domain in terms of usage. So that's the limit from Avodah Zarah. If you look at Avodah Zarah, there's a shinoi that takes place. So to here, this is the shinoi that takes place. If you just pick up an axe, you didn't do anything yet. But if you use it, so then, like that ritva in Kiddushin, it is, then you violate Me'ila. Good. We take out the next two words, ifko pagum, and we go to the third. What is the parallel to truma? Akshi rachmana la truma, ma truma, ki yochal, prat la mazik. Just like by truma it says ki yochal, that excludes mazik. If I just take truma and if I take truma oil, let's say truma can be chal on oil, and I just pour it out. Let's pour it on the floor. I don't violate the isra of achilas truma. I have to pay for it. I was mazik. But I don't violate the Yisr, but prat lamazik, so kabi hektish nami, kol dvar achila, so too by hektish. By an, a food item, ki mazik le pater, when I'm mazik, it is, I'm pater. If I take something that belongs to hektish, and I'm just mazik it, I don't get benefit from it, I don't eat it, I just mazik it, I'm pater too. That's not the violation of Me'ila. Right, I might owe something, but that's not the violation of Me'ila. Major Machlokas Rishonim here, whether this only applies to Dvar Achila, like the Gemara says. Tosa says it's Lavdafka. Right, what if I take something of the base, if I take a spoon of the base on Mikdash and I destroy it? Right, so is that also excluded from Me'ila? The Gemara says, Dvar Achila, Mazik is excluded. So Tosfos says it's Lavdafka. Tosfos, in the Tosa Zimmer Maschel Akshay. He says, Tema, Mashma Dafka Midda Achila Vimazik, Patri, because look in Mesechus Baba Kama, so he causes Lav Dafka. He says, Techinami Achaz, he says, Lav Dafka. The Chiddush of Dvar Achila is that even if I eat something in a Mazik way, I'm going to be Patr. For example, Achila Gasa. Says Tosus, what if I'm totally stuffed? If I eat something else, I'm going to get sick. So that also is not a violation of Mi'ila, because that's Mazik. So the Chiddush, the Gemara says, the Va'achila is that even if you eat it, and you're Mazik yourself, so then you, if I drink oil straight, the Gemara says in Brachas, that's Mazik. So you're going to be, that's not going to be Mi'ila. That's the Chiddush, but really it applies to non-food items as well. Rabbeinu Gershom here says otherwise. Rabbeinu Yashiv here tries to work out what the svara for Rabbeinu Gershom is, that there will be something special about a dvar achila. Okay, either way, that takes us till the two dots. Remember, we mentioned various times it's come up, Rabbeinu Tam Shita, it's not quoted here. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Nazir, Daf Chaf Gimel, and Psachim. Two types of achila gasas. Two types of achila gasas. And that, to answer up problems with two different gemaras, Rabbeinu Tam says, there's one type of achila gasa, whereas I'm full, but you know, I can still eat. There's always room for dessert. So that type of achila gasa is nechshav an achila. And if I eat that type of achila on Yom Kippur, I'm chayiv. And if I eat that type of achila for Shalosh Shudis, it's okay. But there's another type of achila gasa. And that is an achila gasa where if I eat another morsel of food, finished, I'm gone, I'm sick. So that type of achila gasa, says Rabbeinu Tam, is what the Gemara means when it says if you eat achila gasa on Yom Kippur, you putter. Because it's just going to make you sick. And that's the achila gasa that Tosis is referring to here. That if you did that type of achila gasa by Mi'ila, so then it would be putter. It would be excluded. And that's the type of achila gasa that the Shulchan Aruch warns us about. That for Shalosh Shudis, Chacham Eina Barosha, we should make sure that we leave room after the second meal, especially on a winter Shabbos, in order to be able to eat Shalosh Shudis properly. Okay, either way, let's continue now. Says the Gemara, two dots. Ketzad, the examples in the Mishnah were cases where there is no depreciation. Nastakat lavachulu, amalir of kahana lurazvid. Vidava labar if gumehu. We said if you a golden cup, if you use, there's no depreciation. So you violate Mila right away. Is that really true? Gold does not depreciate? Vahadava dekalse denun, lehechazal, the gold of Nun's daughter-in-law. Nun, as in Yoshua bin Nun, never saw Nun in the Gemara, but the gold of Nun's daughter-in-law, Lechazal, it got all worn out. So gold also depreciates. Says the Gemara, Amar Le, Dilma David Ramin Kalsechu. No, maybe it's because it's like the gold of your daughters-in-law that they throw around, meaning they don't take care of. If you don't take care of it, of course, but normal people taking care of it, then it would be, right? If they're not careless, then it would be okay. Va'od, and also, nehita lo'ika nene upakam la'alter. La'ola mi lo'ika pekima. You're right! Eventually, it'll depreciate. But the Mishnah doesn't care about that. Eventually, we don't have to take that into account. If it's so long, like we had yesterday, the mamalas and the other examples, things that are just depreciate much later, so that's not called depreciating in halachas of mi'ila. Next, Hanana Menachatas Vachulu. So the Mishnah was Machalik between benefiting from a live and a dead chatas. Benefiting from a live chatas, so then it could depreciate. And therefore, I'm only going to violate Mi'ila once it depreciates. But a dead chatas, you're not redeeming it. So the Gemara just says, but are you redeeming a live chatas? The Gemara says, Michti, Ibe Behema Tamima, Hainu Koshalza. If it's a Behema Tamima, which you're going to bring as a carbon, that's just like a golden cup. You're not going to redeem it anyway. So what difference does it make if it goes down in value? So Amar Papa, you're right, but Balas Mum Askinon. We're talking about a Balas Mum, and that's why there is depreciation Shaykh, because you're going to redeem it. Next, says the Mishnah, Nene Bikachati Pruta. We said already, you have to have a Pruta's worth of benefit, or a Pruta's worth of taking it into your Rishus. Can you mix and match? Nana bekachati pruta upaga bekachati pruta. What if I get half a pruta's worth of benefit and half a pruta's worth of depreciation? Oh, should nana b'shava pruta b'davar echad upaga b'shava pruta b'davar acher? Or if I benefit shava pruta from one thing, that it does not go down in value, but at the same time I'm depreciating, right, something else. So lo mal, there's no mi'ila here in these cases. Ad sheyene b'shava pruta v'yifka b'shava pruta b'davar echad. Until it's one thing, until it's one thing. That's all. Period. Svasem is here as a suffix. What happens, we know, if it's something that depreciates? So then you have to, you only violate when it depreciates, even if you get a lot of hana. But the second that it depreciates a pruta, do you have to pay for all the hana that you got? What if you got 30 prutas worth of hana, but they think that it depreciates? Yes, you're not chai for that. The second that it depreciates, do you say that the whole thing kicks in and you're chai for everything? So that's the suffix. He's not sure. He's not sure about that. Okay, period. Very important line. Ein moel acher moel b'mukdashin, ela behema v'klishareis bilvad. There is no mi'ila acher mi'ila. Meaning, if I have an item that I violated mi'ila with, could my friend also violate mi'ila with tomorrow? So usually not. Because usually, once I violate mi'ila, the item becomes chulin. That's a result of the act of mi'ila. But there are two exceptions. Exceptions where something has kedushas haguf, where it's never going to go out, even if I violate mi'ila. What are those exceptions? Behema, a karbon, the klishares, and a klishares, which is has inherent kedusha. See, Rashi has a little different gear, so he has in a line, ein morach hamol b'mukdashin ela behema dekadshe mizbeach the klishares bilvad. Okay, Rashi has that gear, so it doesn't really change our understanding. Case that, for example, Rachav agabe behema ubachaveh v'rachav ubachaveh v'rachav, three people ride on an animal that's going to be a karbon, kulan mo'ol. They all violated me'ila, because this is going as a carbon, as kedusha zaguf. Shasa b'koshal zav. Ubachaveh v'shasa, ubachaveh v'shasa, kulan mo'olu. They all violate, because they all drank from the golden cup, and it's still hektish. Talash menachatas ubachaveh v'talash, ubachaveh v'talash. If everybody picks out a hair from a carbon chatas, kulan mo'olu. They all violated me'ila, because again, it's not a mum. It's all going to be brought as a carbon. Rebbe Omer, called davar, again, question of the girsa here, called davar she'en lo pidyon yish b'mor alachar mo'el. Anything that can't be redeemed, there's me'ila after me'ila. It sounds like the same thing. Sounds like Rabbi says, anything that's kedushas aguf, that'll never be redeemed, there's me'ila achar me'ila. We'll have to see in the Gemara whether that is, what's the difference between Rabbi and the Rabbanan. Right, the Bach changes it to kol davar she'en bo pagam. Anything that doesn't depreciate. Okay, Gemara. Mani masnisan, Rabbi Nechemya hi. Who is the Mishnah like? Rabbi Nechemya, the Tanya, ein mo lachem ol el bebeima bilvad. The Tanakhama says, in this Brisa, there's only mi'ila after mi'ila, meaning it remains kadosh by an animal. Meaning, klisharis is left out. Rabbi Nechemya omer bebeima v'klisharis. That's like our Mishnah. Even if I use the cup. So my time at the Tanakhama, what's the reason for the Tanakhama? Why would he limit it? Why shouldn't he say it to all items that retain their kedusha? Dik savar binyana de behemaksiv. Because he says, if you look in the pasuk, it only talks about animals. Dichsiv be'el ha'asham. It says el ha'asham, the pasuk's about animals. So too, it only applies to animals. Rabbi Nechemya amar lecha kavachor. Rabbi Nechemya says, no. Ima cherim mevi lekedusha son, hu atzmo lokal shekein. A kli shareis makes other things kadosh. So you're not going to say that it's so powerful if you put something in a klisharis, like a carbon mincha. So it begets kedusha. So you're going to tell me that it doesn't retain its kedusha? So that's what we paskin. We paskin is behema, vikli, both of them. Behema, vikli, sharis. Period. Rebbe Omer, last section, called davar she'en lo pidyon v'chul yesh l'vechulu, haynu tanakama. So he said the same shita. The Tanakama says that anything that retains its klisharis, its kedusha, there is mi'ila achar mi'ila by it. And Rebbe says the same thing. If there's no pidyon, says the Gemara, two answers. Answer number one, Amar Rava, Ika Binayu, Eitzim. Ika Binayu, the difference is wood. If somebody promises to bring wood, let's say somebody has a forest, and they promise, I'm going to bring this wood to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called a carbon Eitzim. The Tana Rabbanan, Ha'omer Harealai Eitzim, Lo Yifchos Mishnei Gizrin. If somebody promises to bring wood, they have to bring at least two logs, two Gizrin. Rebbe Omer, not only that, the Tanakhama does not say Eitzim is a real carbon with Kedushas Haguf. That's what Rebbe's going to say. The Tanakhama does not say that. Rebbe Omer, Eitzim, carbon hain. Eitzim is a carbon. Vitun in Melach. Wow. You have to salt, if you bring carbon, if the base of it just goes out to a forest and gets wood, that's not a carbon. But if somebody donates, if somebody promises to bring a carbon Eitzim, that is a carbon. And just like every other carbon requires salt, so do the carbonates that require salt. Vitun in tnufa. And it eats, or the on the side we had in Hagasha. Tnufa, you have to wave it. And therefore Rebbe treats it as a real carbon. So that's the machlokes in the Gemara. Is there me'ila by Yetzim? So according to Rebbe, there would be, because it's a real carbon. And according to the Tanakhama, there wouldn't be. Amar Rava. Rava just adds, Lo divrei Rebbe, Eitzim, tu'unim, Eitzim. According to Rava, You would need other etzim for etzim. You can't just put these etzim as wood under the another karban. Because it's a karban, the halacha is that you have to light an esh under every karban. So you'd have to put other wood under this wood. V'yamar ha-papa l'divrei Rebbe tzrichin kemitza. You would need kemitza done. It's a machlokes in the Masechet Menachos. How do you do kemitza to wood? Do you have to like make it all into sawdust and then do kemitza, or just like a little bit that you're going to do kemitza from, that you make that and you put that under, you have to make the whole thing into sawdust. But that was also, that sounds very strange to us, right? Kemitza by wood, but if you hold it's a carbon. And it will be a carbon mincha. Wouldn't you say, what category would it be in? It would be a carbon mincha. And that, but that is all number one. The nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rebbe and the Mishnah is carbon eitzim. Rav Papa Amar, different nafkamina. Kachi mizbeach tamimim, v'nasu bali mumin, v'yavar v'shachtan ikibinayu. You have a carbon and it got a mum. So I'm supposed to be poda it. That's the halacha. But let's say I violated that. I was not poda it. I shechted it right then and there. Before I was poda it. So what's the halacha there? So v'hatanya, the Brisa tells us, kachim is beach temimim, v'nasu bali mumin, v'avar v'shachtan, there's a machlokes. Rebbe Omer yikavru, Rebbe says that it retains its kedusha, and that's why it must be buried. Rechachavim omrim yipadu, the chavim say no, it can be redeemed, and therefore, meaning it could lose its kedusha, so according to the chachamim, there would not be mi'ila achar mi'ila. Because remember, yesh mi'ila, achar mi'ila is only by something that retains its kedusha forever. Kadshe aguf, by a klisharis and a behema. So we're trying to figure out what the difference is. So one is eitzim, is that considered a carbon? And the two is this kashim isbeach, becoming a balmum. Okay, we'll stop here. And remember, tomorrow starts the last parak in mi'ila. Again, a very small parak, but the main topic of that parak is shlichus. And ein shliach l'dvar aveira, and me'ila being an exception to the rule of ein shliach l'dvar aveira, one of the three exceptions that we hold yesh shlichus l'dvar aveira when it comes to me'ila. That's the first parak. Big discussion is that mezid, is that shogeg, but that will be the second to last, or almost the second to last daf of me'ila. And Melech Shem will continue next week with me'ila and kinim and tamid, and eventually midos, Melech Shem, as we zero in on the end of Seder Kachim.